not woke. Make that clear. Awake, not woke.
Hello and welcome, initiates, to another episode of the Awake Not Woke podcast. My name is Sarah and this is episode 27. We have another We Is Me episode, We Is Me number 6, with Waylon Bewell. You may remember Kate Bewell from our last We Is Me episode. This is her husband and another really good long-term friend of Chas's. This is a really incredible episode. We cover topics from Waylon's life, NPCs, the Bible, and everything in between. So you're not going to want to miss this one. And definitely check Waylon out on social media. He is waylon.bewell on Instagram. And that is in the show notes. So go give him some love. But before we get on to the episode, don't forget to follow us on socials. Instagram, we are at Awake Not Woke Podcast. Twitter, we are at Awake Not Woke Pod. And we have a website, awakenotwokepodcast.com. We have a contact page and our DMs are always open. So reach out to us, send us questions, comments, concerns, experiences, suggestions, whatever. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're on your phone, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That really helps boost the algorithms, shows other people our podcast, gives us credibility. We would really appreciate a nice little review on that. And while you're there, give us a subscribe or a follow on whatever app you like to listen to us on. Our episodes drop every Sunday at 4:44 a.m. Eastern Time. So follow us so you get notified of every new episode that comes out. You're not going to want to miss it. We have a lot of really cool episodes planned and coming up. If you are listening to the podcast on the regular and you find yourself receiving some value or entertainment or knowledge from this podcast, consider reimbursing that value back to us. We have an Etsy shop with some really sick merch. You can choose your own price on a lot of that merch, or you can just straight up donate. If you donate a certain amount, we will read your note on air. So if you've ever wanted to contribute to the conversation, that is your way. Chas also has an Etsy shop. She makes hand-stamped custom jewelry, a lot of really cool stuff on there. So find her on Etsy, 5D Impressions Shop. All that's in the show notes. So just go to the show notes, check all of that out. I'd really appreciate it. But without further ado, let's get on to the episode, episode 27 of the Awake Not Woke podcast with your hosts, myself, and Chas. We're talking to Waylon Bewell on the 6th installment of the We Is Me series, and I hope you enjoy. Peace. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Awake Not Woke podcast. This is Chas and Sarah.
Hello.
We're doing another We Is Me episode, and it's with another one of my really good friends. You may remember Kate. She did our previous We Is Me episode. I think that's the order they're coming out in.
Yeah.
And Waylon is Kate's husband. So I have known both Kate and Waylon for about 8 or 9 years. I met Waylon in a town that we both went to high school in, and we worked together, and it's just been a crazy friendship ever since. He's really fucking cool. He's honest. He's kind. He's smart and very well spoken. And I think this is going to be a really great conversation, and I'm pumped to catch up on your life for the last few years and just fucking talk. Let's go.
So welcome.
Oh man. Welcome. This is crazy to be here. This is such a mental, like full circle experience.
Crazy. Yeah.
So the first thing we always ask on We Is Me episodes is just define awake and define woke in your terms. Like, what does awake, not woke mean to you?
I would say awake is looking at the details of things in like a very moment-to-moment basis, kind of being in the present moment, looking at the details of things, reading about the details of things, processing about the details of things, and sort of asking the most important questions.
Yeah.
And woke is the fabrication or the meme of that thing that I just described.
Meme is a great word for woke too, because meme is something like we all know what that is in like a digital age.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we don't really think about what a meme is doing.
Right.
And that's why I really like, what's his name on Instagram? The bald dude that always does the memes, those spiritual memes. Do you know what I'm talking about? Words, not vibes. Is that his? Yeah. He like is.
I thought you meant Dr. Phil.
No, not Dr. Phil. Jesus Christ. He's in a lot of memes. No, Words, Not Vibes is like a meme artist, he says. And he does spiritual memes and high vibrational memes. And it's like, it makes you think about what a meme is doing, and there's a lot
of power of the symbolism.
Exactly. Yeah. And so woke culture is often hypnotized by these memes that don't exist except in this digital world, and they're like something that starts creating this new energy. Have you heard of all the weird TikTok trends with kids these days? The like deviant something, like they're tricking like school and high school kids and middle school kids into like messing up bathrooms and like vandalism on TikTok. It's like a trend, and nobody's even quite sure if kids are actually doing it. But
is it
there's
like Tide Pods?
Kind of. Like someone starts that type of dangerous and stupid trend like and just meme, to see if people will go along with
the
it.
The meme becomes like reality.
Exactly. And it's just, it's very bizarre because like who is starting this meme? Like everyone just copies other memes. So like, Who created some of those?
And we all
like the CIA probably has a meme department. The CIA and FBI, there's like a meme guy.
There has to be. He's probably that bald guy. No, like, and we all witness the power of it, but we're just like, nah.
Yeah, like, we just kind
you
of
mean
move
to
on.
Tell me that Tide Pods.
And how many memes do you look at in one like meme sitting?
How many kids really ate the Tide Pods?
Seriously. But like how much are you taking in from all these like TikTok these days? Mm-hmm. It's addicting. Once you like start scrolling, it starts like showing you videos that are like tailored to your humor or what you're interested in.
It knows
in.
You better than you do.
Oh my God. One day there was just like video after video about like the most insane conspiracies, like proof on like there was real mermaids. I was like believing in mermaids by the end of this TikTok scrolling session.
That's some Davy Jones shit.
But like... How much of this energy is led by someone who's trying to manipulate you, and how much is it led by people who are just trying to spread the truth? When you're like constantly bombarded like that, you can't really think.
Well, by an app named TikTok.
TikTok, like time.
Yeah. Jesus.
Give me your time. Away. Give me your time. Jesus, you're almost Christ. Done. Give me your time.
Okay. I want to know... In regards to a spiritual awakening, so awake, not woke, we went through your, you know, kind of definition of that. But I know we're going to talk about a whole lot of shit today, but one thing that I'm really interested and curious in is your spirituality in the sense of when it started, maybe some peak moments and kind of where you are now. I remember having a conversation with you in your apartment that you lived in previously. And I'd heard of meditation, you know, like, whatever meditation. I never really honestly done it. I came from a super religious background. So I prayed, which is similar but different. But I remember one time you saying something that you were meditating and shit just like fell off your walls, like a painting or something fell off your walls. And you implied this type of energy that was existing within your home. And that was something that I wasn't actually familiar with. So that was kind of my first exposure to that. And at that time,
how deep are you in witchcraft when this happened? Just to like for my frame of reference too.
I had just had a very new and probably disjointed from it.
But you
it was
still...
kind of the beginning of the separation from it.
Okay, got it.
So I was in it and then I kind of went away from it for a while. It was probably right around then that I was like, definitely spiritual, but spirituality wasn't the main focus of my life at that time.
Right.
As you know. But I just want to know that. Like, I would love to open up the conversation to hearing
that's
more about
great...
that.
That's a great...
Right. So how I got to that point.
Yeah, like what's the beginning...
How I even started, how I even started wanting to bring it up in conversation.
Yeah.
Well, I would say I would have to go back like a little bit, but I can kind of speed it up and kind of like do a summary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of had a crazy childhood, a crazy past, and a little bit of a unique upbringing. I had a lot of things going on in my life that transpired really rapidly and in a way that I could compartmentalize and segment and kind of think back, oh, wow, that's like, okay, at this point in my life, I was thinking this.
Yeah.
And so I was born and I lived in Florida.
Right.
For like the first 3 years of my life. And I have memories of living in Florida. So we moved out of Florida. And then I turned four and I remember that birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the type of segment, that I'm talking about. Like we all have these compartments in our lives, a birthday or an event, and we kind of mark that time period.
Yeah.
And we either grow from it or we're still working on things. And I can look back at my life and I can see all of these different windows or compartments, rooms of time that added up to my current belief and my how I look at the world. And I have memories when I was three of just these just crazy memories. Like, I mean, when I look back, I think because when you do have memories of a child, you see all these, well, I've watched a few documentaries of these kids having past life, you know, regression and like memories randomly, and they'll be so detailed. Well, I didn't have like a crazy, vivid memory or anything like that I can like report, but I just remember things that were a bit strange, like odd, like,
yeah,
like I was like, my brain was, like I was in the other side and this side.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, that makes sense. Kids are just so fucking like playful. They just want to play and they're in this happy state constantly. And like, unless something happens to them. So then I moved to Michigan. And then I just remember just a series of events after that followed, just transpired one after the other, like a domino effect. Each one of them, I can look back and say, yeah, that brought me that thought or that, you know.
I bet he has Virgo in his chart somewhere because these are exactly the kind of things that I do just in my head. And these are very detail connection things that like that's an ability, and I would bet anything that there's, and plus you're friends with Chas, and Chas, everybody Chas is friends with is a Virgo in some
everyone.
Way every
really?
Single yeah. one.
Tony's Virgo, Sarah's a Virgo,
Kate had a Virgo, moon or rising, I don't remember. No, her rising was Cancer, so I think it was a Virgo moon.
Yeah. And then a couple of my other friends are both Virgos. Pretty much anybody that I'm around that like I'm really close to or would ground me or have a grounding effect.
Man.
Every single one of them.
So that we'll figure that out later. Yeah. I think I can at least find your moon if you don't know what time you were born, because you don't know what time you're
I have no idea.
That's okay. But that's just because those connections are a like psychic thing too.
Man. Right.
So you had these strange experiences. Did you remember past lives, or did you like have more paranormal things happening to you? What do you mean by strange experiences?
So I remember like having these vivid memories that just didn't make any sense. And I would ask my mom these questions and she would like, I mean, it's a thing. I mean, she tells me them. She tells me the stories like, that was fucking weird. Like, like what the fuck do you mean by like... Like I used to ask her, do you remember when I was older, or do you remember when I was this? And I had these it was almost like my thoughts were of a different age than my current body.
Got it.
That's what's like, that's the weird thing.
I feel like that's an old soul thing. And somebody who's had more past lives, and there's a lot of different theories with past life. I've never really dove into all the specific things, but different cultures believe that there may be like a systematic way of having past lives. Like Know Thyself has talked about, you start out like a single celled organism, and then when you like master that level, you get to like maybe like a fucking worm or something. And then you go to reptile, and then maybe you're a little smarter, you're a bird, and then maybe eventually you're a mammal, like maybe you're a fucking elephant, or like maybe you're just a squirrel. But it's you at some point you level up because you kind of experience everything you need to at that level, and then you become something higher, and humans might even evolve to like angels and like stuff even higher than we can understand at a meat body level.
Right.
But that I think is a mark of someone who's
that's weird, because we have those like animal totems and like people
and Native Americans
energy from it. Yeah.
Kind
all over.
Of would probably exist because time's not real, but if we're thinking like they were early on in the iterations of human because they were still earlier men, or like even other cultures that may use animals, which a lot of them did, as like symbols or like masks and stuff like that, and like indigenous cultures, those people were newer souls into the human meat body, but luckily we were in a time that was easier, like we talked about in Kate's episode, easier to be primal and be connected. So they like naturally understood those like animal connections. But now that we're older souls in older, in like more advanced iterations of the human, as far as the history we understand, which who knows, it's probably all wrong. But
I like the monomyth of Joseph Campbell, like thinking of all those cultural archetypes and totems and gaining power from it and having like the hero's journey and like gaining strength from those archetypes. They're symbols in your head, and they give off an emotional state, and you keep them in your head because you want to level up and be like them, fearless like a lion. I want to be brave like the bear, or I want to be righteous like Jesus.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And enlightened like Buddha.
And Jesus was just another symbol for like there's other ways, like the Son of God is like the sun energy. There's so many different ways to interpret these archetypes, and that's why I feel like ancient cultures needed, like, the more we complicated the stories, the more it got confusing and the less we understood. Because now, like, the Bible is, like, so intense and, so filled with these nuances and riddles. And it's not just, like, we do not have the ability to speak these things. And that's why I think people like us exist, though, and why we're having these conversations now during 2021. Because we are at the end of this confusing age where there's a lot of conflict, and we're ushering in the new golden age, which is going to be a time energetically
really
like the Bible
that way.
Talks about.
It really does feel that way. I mean, no one could predict the internet, and we're all like walking around thinking it's no big deal. The internet, we're all connected. And it's kind of like prophecy.
Meanwhile, in the 90s, we were dealing with like dial-up, and no one even thought like websites were going to be a big deal.
Yeah, from iPhone till now, do you know? Like, I have an entire studio on my phone.
Exactly.
Film studio.
Yeah.
4K.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
So you had these experiences, and what did that feel like going into like a more adult life, like even as a teenager, what did being having child experiences like that lead into?
Well, I feel like I had, well, I like to look at it like I had a series of kind of like trials. I mean, obviously at like the time, I didn't look at them like I was going through a trial, but like, for instance, like I had, I dealt with like the pharmaceutical side of shit, the religious side of shit, you know, the dysfunctional family side, like not knowing my father, not having like that grounding sense of masculinity present in my life. And, yeah, like
Do you remember figuring all that reaching out? I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you remember reaching out on Awake Not Woke and saying, like, when you first reached out and said, like, I feel like we have a lot of similarities in our story. And I was like, we got to have you on an episode. And then I realized you lived like 14 hours away. But that's why we're here at your cabin.
This is so awesome.
I literally grew up with pretty much my mom. She moved away when I was in like middle school. And that's exactly how I feel about my mom from the feminine perspective. And it's just really interesting that we have been having, like, I'm gesturing to Chas and the girls of the trip have been talking a lot about the feminine versus masculine archetypes. And it's interesting to see the similarities that are also still different in those fundamental energetic ways. Because, like, it's a different experience if, like, I grew up with just a mom, like what Chas experienced at times, having a lot of female energy in a house versus having the opposite energy not present, or the same energy not present, or whatever. So I just had to interrupt you because it's very similar to the things. And I totally know what you mean by, like, trials. So. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think everyone has trauma in their life. Even if they have, like, a textbook perfect life, you're going through certain things that are going to sink you into a lower, like, emotional state, and it could keep you there for a while. And the trials are just dealing with that on a day-by-day basis while you still have to figure out everything else. And, like the different parts of it, figuring out who you are in the world, having these deeper thoughts, while also, you know, and it's almost like, I almost wish I didn't have certain questions that I asked at an earlier age of my life, because it almost sunk me deeper into a lower emotional state and depression. And then at the time I was on...
Do you mean like existential questions?
Yeah. Yeah. On top of everything. Like, I was very curious. I was like a very curious kid, like like preteen, teenager. I asked a lot of questions. And I just was questioning everything. Like, why is this different? Why is this different? Like, you know, and...
I literally did the alchemical counseling session with Daniel from the Know Thyself podcast. And one of the things he said to me, I really want to look up your birth chart now, because in my birth chart, all of my planets are gathered in the first and second houses, which means you might have a lot of these understanding, awakening experiences early on in your life, because all the planets represent like different parts of your psyche without like having a whole episode on astrology. And one of the things Daniel said to me was, like, he was trying to have a conversation and like figure out things about my personal birth chart. And I told him a story about how I had to have been like maybe 10 or 11. And I was just kind of getting annoyed at my dad, who grew up Catholic, and saying, like, so if you're Jewish, you just, like, go to hell.
Wow.
Like,
I did
what
the same thing.
What do you mean? And I almost started crying, because I was like, that literally, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, I'm just saying that's what they told me. And I'm like, so do you believe it? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, how could you? Like, I had to ask those questions, and I was so young,
that's
which
so
is
funny.
Crazy to even be in that realm so young. So I'd be curious if you have a lot of planets early in your birth chart as well.
Well, I must, because I asked the same questions, because
that would be crazy.
Yeah, I remember asking my stepdad, like, so if I was a Satanist, you're just gonna throw me out? And he's like, yeah. I'm like fuck, dude, I don't know about that religion.
All right. Like, yeah, seriously.
Cool.
Awesome.
Like, you're not gonna have a conversation about what it means, or like why you believe that. It's funny you even bring up Satanism too, because I had a friend in high school who was a Satanist, and I don't know what it, like, Anton LaVey or whatever, I don't know what kind of Satanist
she was. I was looking
that
shit up when I was 14.
I mean, I was like 15 or 16 when I met this girl. And she let me borrow her satanic Bible. And I was like reading it and thinking, like, oh, most of these are like not inherently evil sounding.
Yeah,
right. Like, just like karma and stuff. Like, it talks a lot about principles that, but it's like the cults thing. It's a kind of sort of bastardized version. And this Anton LaVey or whatever is slipping in little things here and there that, just like any religion, it makes it more of a cult than an actual fundamental truth. And that's why you didn't need to have any, like, any prying for those questions to just come up, because you knew right off the bat inherently that the truth is out there. You just have to be able to ask the questions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I knew that there was other versions of the story and I questioned those versions and I just wanted to know more information. Yeah, I mean,
that's so interesting.
Well, like the monomyth, like the Joseph Campbell, to go back to this really quick. I mean, it ties into everything because it's the entire consciousness of the world in symbolism. Every religion, every story, every myth, you know, it ties in. There's core archetypal stories that are found in different societies and they all end up meaning similar things and empowering you in a certain way. And like the hero's journey, figuring out things, you know. And
Carl Jung talks about this concept and basically says like the reason these archetypal stories work is because those societies figured out the story and like interpreted the story on their own.
Right.
Whereas traditional religion is they're telling you the story and they're like, this is interpreted this way because of this. Just believe me.
Yeah.
But you have to do the interpretation yourself. And that's why asking questions is such a huge sign of like an awakening because you just start to say like, huh, wait a minute. So you're telling me this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And you're saying it believes this. Well, why?
Right. That's what like to bring up. Yeah. Do you know who Swedenborg is?
I don't know.
Emanuel Swedenborg?
Yes. I don't know if you sent me that.
I may have because I was like, when we started talking about the podcast and everything, I started reading his stuff.
Okay.
And so I probably brought it up. So he was like this genius, like super Renaissance man. And he had a mystical experience in his, I don't know, I think he was like in his 40s or he was later age. He had a mystical experience and he was either doing some meditation or he had a psychedelic experience of some kind. Mm-hmm. It's no one knows. But he was an engineer. He was everything, a super Renaissance man. And after this mystical experience, he started writing about the afterlife. And he started having more mystical experiences. And he was applying his engineering kind of mindset to these experiences. And he cataloged a lot of it in these volumes of work. And a lot of it has to do with the mapping of the human mind. It has a lot of it has to do with where your attention goes to, what heaven and hell is. He has a book called Heaven and Hell. And essentially, it's in the thought realm, the metaphorical realm where things hold power, he thinks that.
What? When was this guy alive?
17 something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So pre Carl Jung? Because I feel like heard about him through Carl Jung's work. Carl Jung.
That's what I thought about it.
I'm terrible at pronouncing those names. So I probably have seen the name without knowing how to pronounce it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's this guy's philosophy is so it ties everything together.
Cause the thought realm is something Carl Jung talks a lot about in his work too, and how thoughts exist in the collective unconscious, which is just his like psychology word for this other dimension.
Right.
And these archetypes live there. And when they show up in your life, either in the literal world, in the dream world, in a meditation, in a psychedelic experience, it's our job to recognize them and interpret them for our own personal lives. And that's kind of what the tarot does, is like these archetypes exist in these cards and it's just telling us a story.
Yeah. So the whole premise of like the Swedenborg's kind of like philosophy, like what he was talking about, is like heaven and hell. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So heaven and hell, what he was getting at with heaven and hell, he was like, he wrote all these volumes of books on, and he studied the Bible. Like he really studied the Bible. He didn't take it literally.
Right.
He studied it metaphorically and he found certain key numerical
And is this like alchemy kind of situation too?
It's like he applied the science of that age into the Bible,
which was alchemy.
Which was alchemy.
Yeah.
Right. And then he applied it to the Bible. And what he found was the Bible is almost like a mapping of the mind and the human consciousness.
That's what Know Thyself is all about right now. And
right. This is an old idea. Very old.
Crazy. And it shows, especially with these ideas, how bastardized religion these days is, because it's such a twisted and contorted and changed to their needs perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not this like ancient perspective anymore.
Well, what it helped me realize when I, and this is like jumping ahead in my kind of like path of researching this stuff and asking questions, is that when you don't take the Bible literally, you get the same feeling of awe and like,
yes,
you get the same sense of power, the fact that this even exists and the series of events that had to happen for this. You know, not a lot of people know the history of the Bible. It's incredible. And if you don't take it literally, you still get a sense of that this was written by something that was way more intelligent than we're giving it fucking credit for.
Yep.
And it ties in with the entire history of the human race.
I could not agree more with what you're saying. Actually, I've recently downloaded a Holy Bible app and they give you like a verse of the day, but also they've got these little reading plans that you can do. And it is usually centered around a topic or something, but then it'll give you like a devotional to read, and then it'll give you specific verses, sometimes whole chapters of certain books. And I haven't read the Bible like diligently in a long time, so it's really nice to like do it continuously. But what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling when I'm reading it, because I'm not taking it literally like how I grew up, is that sense of, oh shit.
Yeah.
And it's this incredible piece of work that maps out our brains, minds, lives, whatever, like you
were
saying.
But it's also our personal journey.
Exactly. And the fact that it's a collective journey and a personal journey all at the same time, and you have this this body of work that reflects that, when you step back and you can study it from that perspective, it's incredibly eye-opening and empowering, like you were saying.
But just like the basics, like the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
So if you look at it in like a, and I apologize to the Swedenborgians out there, because like someone's going to fucking, that's not what he said. Like, but this is just my interpretation of me reading his stuff. So what he was getting at with finding these revelations in the Bible, not taking it literally, is that, so heaven, you want to live in a state of heaven. Well, what's the metaphorical state of heaven on this three-dimensional, in this reality? Yeah, what would that be in your mind?
Right.
Would it be like depression? Would it be like thinking negative thoughts? Or is it just positive all the time? Like, so he was saying holding on to that light helps you put your mind into a state of heaven. And so you can be blissful and full of love and then radiate that.
Yep.
Being Christ-like. And it's like,
The Christ consciousness.
And right. Because if you think of the thought world, and say you like, it was a different sort of view, like say like x-ray, like we can't see x-ray, but we have equipment. Imagine if we can see inside of like the,
the CIA
void,
may
the
or
void.
May not have technology
I'm sure
to
they
do
this. I'm sure
like,
they do.
There are the CIA documents. There was one where a guy allegedly had like a really powerful aura, and there was like another guy that had a machine. And there's a whole CIA document from like the 30s or 40s that documents this guy who just had a super powerful energy source. Like they just kind of kept him to themselves.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a little girl right now floating in some fucking like room with a nosebleed.
Supernatural. Fucking... Or what's it called?
Yeah. Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. Not Supernatural.
Upside Down.
Yeah. That's one of the, it basically. See, these reference into, you know, the void, they're the astral realm, the Akashic records, all of these different things that have been in on societies. I mean, think about this. Like this information is older than the Bible. So
the thing that I've
older
been
trying than the Bible. Bible is fucking old.
But also the word old implies a linear timeline to begin with. Mm-hmm. And I always love to pay close attention to things that are time related because we don't realize how often we use them.
Yeah.
And we're like, long ago, what year was it?
Right.
It was the first ever. And like even first, or like the old man, the new baby, like even like age in general is just so arbitrary because time's not real.
Yeah.
So we were all born right now, and the only thing that exists is the present moment.
Right.
But the present moment also never ceases to exist. And at one point, the present moment was the moment you were born. At one point, the present moment was the moment the Civil War was going on. So that's all happening exactly at the same time. And English doesn't even begin to actually explain something like time or space or these concepts that exist in this other dimension. So it's just really interesting to even consider, like,
it's just convenient to have to reference time for us.
Right. For sure.
But we're so, our culture is so
wrapped
in
how close time is though, because time's all right on top of each other.
Right.
So we're talking about these old concepts, but at the same time, they're just being discovered. And we are the beginning of the new level of discovery. Like, Know Thyself talks a lot about the musical scales and how those apply to life in the world around us. Because you have, what is it, A through E? A through E, and then it restarts, and then it just keeps going up. And they're the same keys or same notes on different like keys. I'm not super musical, so I'm kind of looking at Chas to see if that sounds,
I'm listening.
Does that sound correct though?
Like octaves you're saying?
Yes, octaves.
Okay.
And that's kind of how life is. So we discovered these principles that existed at the beginning of time. I'm using air quotes for all those time words. But at the same time, we are rediscovering that same ancient technology for the first time on this octave.
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn. And that is so crazy that, you know, it kind of snowballed, and it's almost like it's always meant to be, you know, we're always meant, like it was always meant to be this, you know, that's
it's
sort of what it feels like.
This is all there is.
Right.
Like
yeah.
Always.
Yeah. And it's weird. It's like, we're just in this, we don't know where we came from. We don't know what this life is. We just woke up. Some people still haven't woke up, or they're woke. Which is, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And
they're just operating. And the whole, that kind of brings me to that whole NPC conversation.
Oh, I love it. It's so.
Because Chas,
right,
I still think about our conversation in the Matrix episode
too.
To this day, like on a daily basis. Because if there were literal NPCs in this world, there are more than a majority of the people you run into at a grocery store or at the mall or on vacation at tourist traps. It's all fake people. And if NPCs are a real thing, which I have honestly no clue at this
I
is
believe
like,
it. I believe
I think
are.
It could be possible.
I've met the same person a fucking billion times in my life and they're all different people. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think for me, it goes with the rendering as we go reality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it, from that perspective, like that's just how it literally translates into my brain. Like if it's rendering as we go, then like there would have to be fake people
Put it this way. So when I was younger, like I think my senior year high school, I worked at a Home Depot and I was there for a long time. And then I moved to a different Home Depot, and it was fucking like I never left the first Home Depot. Same people.
Right.
Like the same people.
Yeah.
The same exact people. I'm like, I feel like I've been talking to you for 2 years now.
Yeah.
It's been 3 weeks, man. Like, I know your whole life story because I met you at the old Home Depot. You're saying the same shit. Like, stop talking to me.
I totally
want to go home.
Now you're just like reliving your Home Depot hell.
But we meet
I
people.
I totally know what you mean.
You know?
I think anybody who works in a retail environment that is at all not an NPC has experienced this phenomenon because like...
Well, we're all forced to be in-game characters. You know, that's the thing. That's the whole thing. We're meant to play this game.
And it is a fucking game.
Yeah.
Like, if you play any open world games at all, like even Skyrim or...
I love Skyrim. Even,
I know, it's so fun.
It's the only game I play, actually.
I want Chas to play it so bad just to, like, I don't know, experience
it. I still
it.
Play it on the 360. Fuck it. I don't need to buy a new... I'm going to buy Skyrim again.
I love also The Witcher 3. Have you ever played that game?
No.
That
I know
is
all
like
about it. The
Skyrim.
Show's pretty dope.
Oh my God, The Witcher's show is so good. But yeah. The game is like Skyrim, but like a little bit better, in my opinion.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just love any open world game where I can just wander around because it really puts into perspective that we're literally just kind of wandering around and we decided to pick a life at some point and we never really did that consciously. So if we want to live a conscious, like we're playing Skyrim and we end up just playing like stupid level up dumb side quest for a really long time and we get really good at like sneaking or something stupid, like a skill that'll be kind of useful in the future, like like going to school and being good in customer service. Those are pointless little skills that are kind of useful. But then if you get to a like long point in the game and this is a real life game, so you have like a death point, you just wasted your whole life just getting like 100 levels on sneaking and you're not good at anything else. Like,
that's exactly how I think about
it. So you need to choose to make to do the main quest. Yeah. You don't want to do all the side quests all the time. So you're like, you know what? I'm going to do the main quest. That I'm going to take the hero's journey. Right. I think about this all the time. I swear to God, I had a side quest option at a nightclub recently. My boyfriend and I were at this club and he like... We were just standing there and all of a sudden these two guys just come up to us and start talking to us and they almost had like this weird script and we did not respond at all.
Whoa.
We just like stared at these people and they were like blip 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 and
denied.
No, and then they just walked away as quickly as they appeared.
That's so
and
weird.
I turned to Isaac and I'm like, if we had walked away while they were talking, would they have kept talking like as if we were still standing there? You know what I mean? Like in Grand Theft Auto, when somebody walks up to you and tries to start a side quest and you're like, no, I'm doing something. And then they still just stand there like you're still like going to start the side quest. But that's literally what it felt like. And I was like, if we followed them, would we have like started a side quest?
Right.
Would we have ended up at like a frat party or something? Like doing a dumb side quest we don't want to be doing. That's how I look at the world constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you want to like... just change yourself too. Like, it's kind of empowering to look at the world like that, you know, like just to make improvements. Like, I remember like playing The Sims way back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Remember The Sims?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a fun game.
Love The Sims.
But just like to seeing your character progress and you see what you have to do and then applying it. I don't think a lot of people, well, I don't know that. I don't really know this for sure.
You played Sims the right way, it sounds like. I played Sims the, like, lock them in the rooms and drown
you
them
filled
in
the,
swimming
right,
pools.
You filled you filled the pool up with babies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Didn't let
for
them out.
Sure. And, like, you call, like, there's, like, aliens if you get real fucked up.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's fucked up.
That's how I played. Which also, if we're talking about feminine masculine energy, my boyfriend also played The Sims correctly. And he... always makes fun of me because I always used the mother load cheat code and just got a shit ton of money and then fucked my Sims life up. I just fucked their lives right up. And that's a very feminine way of playing a game. Very chaotic and just like, I don't want to follow the rules. I'm just going to do this however feels right.
Yeah.
So that's funny that you're like getting this noble deed and I'm like, I learned you can just do whatever the fuck you want. So that's great.
Yeah.
But I gamify life all the time. So that's really I love that. You said you were affected by like pharmaceuticals too.
Oh, yeah,
I think
yeah.
we were gonna get into that, and then we started talking about this that Schnorn Spark. The guy.
Yeah. That guy.
Anyway.
Yeah. So early on in life, so I had a hard time processing things, being so young, and like I was a creative kid. Like I was an emotional, creative type of guy. And I had to process that. And I was also a redhead ginger, like angry all the time kid too, you know, like, so I had that side of me too, that I liked sports and like being outside and like, working out and like doing those things. But I also had a hard time processing, the creative side. There wasn't an outlet. Like I didn't have a traditional outlet. Like I had, you know, parents that did their best and to support me, but it wasn't like, the emotional side was just completely absent. So I think I transpired that emotion into like trauma, obviously happens to a lot of people. And then I was asking for help, and the only help that they could give me was pharmaceuticals.
Right.
And so, at the time, it was, you know, I did it for, I think I was on Prozac from like, I don't know, I think 15 to 17. And then I was on another, I can't even think of the pill, from like 14 to 17. And so it was like, I remember taking it and like not feeling good and like being lethargic and like not having emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I remember literally not really feeling anything, much of anything. So when you're at that age, I mean, that is like, I don't understand how anyone, I mean, your hormones are already fucking going crazy. I would never do that to someone that's just, their chemicals are just starting to fucking develop. But anyways, that's just what every child was on. Every kid in my school was on some fucking Ritalin, you know, chemical. Yeah. And I'm sure it helps a lot of people. But for me, it did not help. It made things a lot worse. And I remember learning how to just adapt to that. And it's crazy because I can pinpoint the exact moment where I was like, this isn't serving me. Like, I just stopped taking it. I just stopped taking the pill. I just didn't tell anyone. I just stopped taking it.
Yeah.
Like, I told my mom like that, but like, I would lie to the doctor because I was like, a lot of crazy shit, like, a lot of crazy life memories just happened. Like, I went to this is like a big jump. And like, I would have to explain a lot to tell you how I ended up here. But my mom had a lot of depression in her. Like, she had a crazy life.
Yeah.
And my mom, you know, was also on pharmaceuticals. And there was a time when I lived with her where she was put on the wrong fucking pharmaceuticals, the wrong shit for her thyroid. And it was driving her crazy. Like, it was like really affecting her.
My dad literally had a similar experience. One time he, because I grew up with my dad, and as a young female, that you can see how some of that's an issue if you don't have a woman in your life to explain certain biological things that are happening to you.
Yeah.
And he kind of accused me of like PMS being bullshit.
Wow.
And was kind of like, you can't just use that as an excuse to like, and my dad has a lot of issues of his own as well. So that's neither here nor there. But then he got on some thyroid medicine that fucked up his hormones, and he had all these mood swings and like emotional breakdowns that he wasn't understanding. And
right.
He literally was like, I understand hormones a little better now, because once he came off of it, it like changed his emotional and his mental well-being. And he still needs help. But it's hormones and those like chemicals, they're just messing with pharmaceuticals play such a larger role. We're just like putting band-aids on band-aids.
Yeah. And I think yeah, because of that, I had like a lot of teen angst and like, you know, I got in moderate trouble, but not really. I was still a good kid.
Yeah.
But my like mood swings would be sporadic. I remember too. I remember long periods of just not feeling anything and then just like flipping a fucking table. Like what the fuck? And then, yeah, so it was crazy processing all of that. And a lot of stuff happened. And I just remembered getting off of them and having this fog lifted. And then it's almost like that positivity that I was trying to get in was finally able to fucking get in. And yeah. Now there was a stream, you know, flowing again. And I just was not able to fucking feel it then. And like the, you know, having these different experiences as a child, it was mainly these feelings that I had. This like the energy feeling, the flow, the like vibration in the room, like being able to participate in that, you know?
And if you think about all that from a conspiracy perspective, if you felt that disconnect from that higher source,
right?
Isn't that exactly what they want? Like,
yes.
The more people who are on pharmaceuticals, the more you are disconnected from source energy.
Yeah.
And children naturally have that source energy, and they need to start as early as possible so they can't possibly wake up. And then they have been doing this for almost probably 100 years or more, if not forever. Who knows? But we're at a precipice right now with the whole fucking world and everything that is at the state of where it's at.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy to hear you express that in a way that makes so much sense on a spiritual level as well, because not a lot of people can share that experience. And now we have so many direct conversations happening with this connection. And it just kind of shows how we are all independently finding the same truth.
It's hard to pinpoint, you know, because it's a collection of so many things that it's like a little epiphany is going off. And then you can, it's almost like how David Icke explains transcendental meditation.
I love David Icke.
With like, okay, this is your bubble of consciousness. And then you settle your mind, you settle your thoughts, and you allow more and more consciousness to create a bigger bubble. You have more data. And then you're able to, you know, get more and more that flow. And what's funny is like, I was looking up like meditation at a really young age.
I was too.
And it was partly because of the shows I was watching. I was like, what are the chakras? You know, like so I was researching this. I'm like, whoa, that's a thing. And at an early age, I saw how old it was. And like, whoa, that's weird. And it was the, it had a lot to do with like the music I was listening to too. Like I had this uncle. He's actually my cousin, but this is I call him my uncle. Whatever.
I love that. He's actually my cousin.
he was a tattoo artist. And, I just remember having some awesome conversations with him. And I would just ask him so many questions. And he gave me his music collection. And like the band Tool and like all these other 90s.
Alex Gray is the artist.
Yeah.
His work is connected in a lot with that time period, I feel like, too. Because I did a research project on him in college. And
that's funny.
No way. That's so funny.
I did.
So you understand how his life kind of like grew through that time period. And like even with Tool and like he did a lot of album artwork for them. And
so that band, their music, the reason why I like them so much is it actually musically personifies the experiences that I was having. And then when you listen to it on a deeper level, you listen to the lyrics, like when he was saying, like in the song Lateralis, like ride the spiral, like to your own divinity and still be a human.
I think we talked about spirals in Kate's.
Yeah, we did.
So that's really hilarious. And
that's
great.
Crazy.
That's awesome.
But just bettering yourself. And that,
for sure.
I think that was the first spark when I was like, oh yeah, I can actually grab a hold of my journey and swing it in a different direction. you know?
Yeah.
And not worry so much. And, for sure. But that is, you know, it's funny. Like, you did the tarot card reading last night, and I had the death card. Yeah. You were explaining it to me.
And that was in your, I believe, like, you as how you see yourself, like you as you are now. That's the spot that it was in.
Yeah.
And the death card is like such a transformative and renewing card. We actually have a big poster of the death card that we had hung up in our rental house for a long time. And it was interesting that we had that card hanging above us when the falling out happened.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just a really interesting, the symbolism was there the whole time.
Weird.
Yeah. And it's just a really transformative card. So that really represents like the slow precipice into this new chapter in your life. And then you had the Magician card as like your core contributing factor, which is it's the first card in the major arcana other than the Fool, which is the Zero. And it really represents like the beginning of a journey. And then you had like a 10 of something in your outcome position, which I don't remember what card it was.
10 of Cups. Is that what it was?
It was 10 of Cups or 10 of Wands. I think 10 of Wands, might have been Tony, though. I don't know.
I remember.
Anyway.
We got a little litty last night.
And did tarot. I love it. But anyway, so you experienced a lot of disconnection with the pharmaceuticals, and then when you came off that, it was such a powerful reconnection that really like rekindled this understanding for you that you kind of had as a child. Is that like a good way of describing that, like, progression from when you were a kid and then being on pharmaceuticals as a teenager and then stopping them?
Yeah. I would say that moment, I was able to see, because that was during a time where I was coming into like my full teenage young adult self. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you go through all these changes, like mental changes, like who am I, you know, going to be type person? Who am I going to hang out with? All these things. I remember, so it kind of initiated a series of events for me. And the way it initiated it is it allowed me to acknowledge that they were happening. And as before, I was kind of like in a daze and I wasn't. And then it was like kind of like my old memories that I had were just kind of there, and they weren't as significant as I used to think they were. And then I don't know.
So with your tarot card reading from last night in mind, when you were first on like pharmaceuticals and before you came off of them, mm-hmm. that was like pre, like the veil that exists before the journey, like this weird background. And then I feel like when you came off pharmaceuticals and it like set off the journey, that was your Fool card. So that was when you were the Fool, the Zero card.
Yeah.
And all those, we'll get to the series of events that kind of unfolded after that if you want. And that was like your Fool's part of the journey. And then your reading last night was saying, okay, you're done with that. Now it's moving into the Magician part of your journey. And that's, if that makes sense. That's kind of what it sounds like.
It does, because that's when I started to meditate. That's when I started getting more interested in different aspects of spirituality. That's when I started doing like different exercises, so I was having these experiences. I was meditating and I felt things. I felt an energy. I felt all these different things that people are talking about, but it's kind of like, don't talk about it.
For sure.
Yeah. So it's like weird to have discussions. It's hard to talk to just normal people, but there's so many of them having the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So many are having the same, like, you know, some people have out of body experiences. Some people can like literally feel energy around them. They can feel other people's energy radiating off them. They can interact with that energy, and it's like in the thought realm, but you can feel it. It's like an additional feeling
and
that you
have. And that's kind of a literal thing while also being a metaphorical
thing. It's both, yeah.
And that's what I think people get really uncomfortable with, because they're like, yeah, no, I feel your vibes. And I'm like, but also like, those vibes are like literally there. Like there's like a literal aura, like that literally exists on a literal different level.
Right.
Which is why the Bible is fucking crazy, because it is kind of literal, but it's definitely not literal at the same time. But like,
that's what I was getting at with the Ten Commandments. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's like doing those things, they create a sense of like person within you, and that creates a vibration. And like living a righteous path or using Jesus as an archetype to become like Jesus is so fucking powerful. Like people don't realize how powerful that is to a society. It's everything.
Right. For sure.
Yeah.
So crazy. So what was kind of this unfoldment after
that? Yeah. So I moved out of my parents when I was 17, and long story short, so I'll just kind of fly through this portion. There's so much that happened, and I feel like if I just tell it in like short little segments, it'll be a bigger picture of what I'm getting at. So when I was 17, I kind of negotiated with my mom and stepdad. It literally, they were gonna move back to Florida. And my entire support group, the people who I invested my time in, who helped me get out of this depressive state, I was going to leave them completely. And it took me, I mean, I spent seventh grade completely silent. I didn't talk to anybody. Like, that's how bad it got at living in that environment.
Yeah.
And then I healed myself. And so I didn't want to let that go. And I felt like if I moved with them, that would have, you know, I would have been, who knows?
Right.
You know, I wouldn't be here right now. You know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. And so, in a way, it was the right decision. But at the time, I had no idea. So, I helped them move to Florida. And I had an arrangement to live with a good friend of mine. And they were going to help pay a room rent for until I could afford it. And I just remember getting a phone call. When I landed, like the plane, I landed, I just got out of the terminal and my mom calls me and like, I don't have a place to live.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And luckily my really good friend Justin was right there next to me and his parents, you know, took me in. So I had all of my shit in a room at someone's house. I don't know what happened. I was so young. I don't know what transpired or what was discussed. I have no idea. All I knew was all of my stuff, like my bed, my like speakers, all of my stuff was in someone else's house I'm not living in. And I'm living with my friend Justin and his parents. And, so that transpired. I mean, they helped me out tremendously, you know. So I had I went from his house to my girlfriend's house at the time, from my girlfriend's house to an apartment, I believe, or something like that. And then I moved in with the Angelinis. Like, that was a big eye opener. And in between all of these moves, I was in survival mode. Mm-hmm. Like, I was in, like, what am I going to do, you know? And I was trying to make it work. Well, it turns out, like, for instance, like, Justin's parents had me become an unaccompanied minor so I can sign up for my senior year of high school, you know? And so those type of things, I didn't even know I needed to do that. And, you know, experiencing that, I felt a sense that I was alone. Like, really alone.
Right.
Like, survival mode alone. So, my fight or flight was going off. My cortisol was raising. And so, school became my escape from all of that. And I still remember, you know, I lived at Claire's house. And they were right down the street from our high school.
Yeah.
And I would walk to high school, like, back and forth. And that was pretty, you know, that was a good walk. And I just remember, like, you know, it was good and everything, but you know, when you're living in someone else's family's house, it's fucking weird.
Right. And all your care shit what, is still it's somewhere fucking else, weird. Right?
It's weird.
My boyfriend and I are literally living with his parents right now. So right. I, even though it's nice and like we have a lot of room, right. like a decent amount of privacy, it's like, it's not mine.
Yeah. Imagine them
as
not,
a child, like literal right. child too.
And then imagine them not being his parents, you know, imagine you guys right. are just living in someone's fucking house.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, so it's like, you know, it becomes this thing in the back of your head. Like, what am I going to do? How can I fix this? And you're thinking that you have to fix it. And so school was an escape for me, and I did everything. My senior year, I did every play that I could, you know, be a part of. I did the talent show. I did all this stuff because then I wouldn't have to think about going back home to someone, you know, someone else's house and like feeling like I'm an intruder or something.
Yeah.
And so these events from me landing, you know, back in Michigan, it felt like a string was attached to me. And like every single thing, every person I met, every interaction I've met, it was like they were someone that I could gain information from to figure out how I can get to the next point, like get out of this.
The next save zone?
Yeah, exactly. This next fight or flight, you know, I don't want to be in this mode anymore. Yeah. I want to experience this. And it really forced me to be my true, authentic self in the moment. And I realized, you know, oh, yeah, I could, you know, if I expel positive energy, you know, people want to be around me. So that's, I wanted my own family. You know, I wanted people around me, my friends, and like, I wanted to have these interactions. And so I just met amazing people, and it felt like I, from the moment I landed, I had a string attached to me and some fucking force was just pulling me through this timeline. I was meeting the right people at the right time. Yeah. I was acknowledging it, and I was like just so wrapped up in what they were giving me, the value, and like so many like godly people helped me out.
Yeah.
Like, and they didn't have to.
Right.
They didn't have to. They didn't have to do shit. They didn't have to hook me up, you know, so I got on my feet. You know, I had Christmases when I was alone, you know. And to have a Christmas with another family is fucking sad. Like it's sad. So, and you feel it. You know it's sad. It's like,
It's funny hearing you say all this, because although I'm living with my boyfriend's family now and we have been together for so long that it's not weird anymore, mm-hmm. you're making me re-remember when I was in early college and yeah. I spent every single night at their house, and he was still in his like childhood bedroom, and we were like just like holed up in his bedroom. And wow. I feel like I experienced a very similar thing, even though I technically could go home whenever I wanted. I just yeah. didn't want to, because yeah. it wasn't, I didn't feel comfortable there either. Right. Yeah. So I know what you mean. Like, I would literally just like starve in his room until his parents left, and then I'd go down and get food just so I wouldn't feel like a burden. Now yeah. I don't care, because we're all adults, but as like
at
a
that
kid,
time, yeah, you gotta apply it to that.
And we hadn't been dating for 9 years yet. We'd only been dating for a couple, so it was still like his family, not yeah. like my extended family.
Right.
So I totally know what you're saying, and it's such a bizarre feeling, but yeah. when you, if you didn't have that string, you could have easily gotten like caught in the shadow of that experience
I didn't pay attention to the string. I think everyone has that string.
Except for NPCs.
Right.
But that's the thing about NPCs. So are there NPCs?
Or maybe those are the people that don't acknowledge the
exactly.
string's existence. Yeah.
That's where Chas and I have had a lot of conversation on NPCs, because I think it's possible that there are just people who are asleep. And yeah. they have the soul and the string and whatever metaphor you want to use, but they just don't acknowledge it, and they just kind of are going through life in like a daze. But
right. Or maybe they were just me at 15, just hopped up on pharmaceuticals,
right,
not
right.
asking questions.
But they have the potential to wake up. And then there's the concept of NPCs, that there are only a small percentage of real people.
Yeah.
And we simulate the rest of them just to make it the game more interesting.
Yeah.
And that is an interesting concept.
It's such a mind fuck.
And like, you can't really prove it.
Man, that'd be a good TV show. Like, someone goes around, like Dexter, but with NPCs, like he...
And then he kills the NPCs. Like some way to know if they're an NPC or not. Like they die and like there's like a black goo that comes out or something.
They're just like a rubber body.
Yeah. Like I'm just imagining like classic Doctor Who. Really cheesy. And they're just like, anyway, that was a great tangent. But seriously though, this is the kind of things that just fill my mind constantly. Like we went out to that club and I'm just looking around at all these people going, I'm pretty sure we're the only real people in this room. Like,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Just looking around.
Yeah. I think a lot of people go like through life doing what they think that they should do instead of doing what they want to do. And I think that that creates the illusion of the in-game character. I think that they're just kind of, you know, this is what I should do, you know.
For sure.
This makes sense. You know, this is what he did.
Totally. So how does that translate into you now? Because that's still like was early adulthood, right?
Yeah. So that was my, that was before I met Caitlin. And And I was still, when I met Chas, I was very much going through like all of this, but I was going through a very like spiritual development. That was like my core development.
I can see that looking back now for sure.
Yeah. So I was meditating like a lot. Like, I mean, I spent a lot of time. I was like really into it. And I would, you know, I would just smoke and I would meditate and I would do it in a very structured way, almost like a workout. And I was consuming so much information because I had this idea. I'm like, I don't want to be dumb because I can't be dumb because I'm all alone. I have to be smart. And so I just told myself that I'm going to spend as much time as humanly possible just consuming as much knowledge, like information. Doesn't matter what it is. I just want to consume it constantly. So I was listening to a lot of podcasts, like before podcasts were even popular. Now I'm speaking on one, which is crazy.
How old were you during that period?
I was
21.
I was like, I was like 19, 20, and 21.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because I also resonate with that like period of just like desperately trying to take in knowledge. Like 2020 was that for me.
Yeah.
To a T. So it's just, I wish I would have known about that way of gaining knowledge early on. Because I feel like I accidentally figured out a lot of things when I was like a kid.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I...
That reference point.
Yeah. Like I just actually started like watching videos or reading things more that... some of these things actually started clicking. Because I did some research here and there in high school on like hypnotism and meditation, but it wasn't like something I took seriously until like 2020. And 2020 was like, oh my God, I only have so much time. I need to get it all right now.
Yeah. Well, it started with symbolism. Just like figuring it, like, what does that mean? Like, why is that everywhere? And like a big part is... like Tool, their symbolism and their videos were obviously really trippy and cool, but
and occult.
They got me into the occult because I researched, you know, and then I was like, I mean, I was researching Aleister Crowley when I was like 14.
That's
like
awesome.
Like super early I got into this. I would watch Tool videos, I would see the symbolism, and I would
also
ask questions.
Very dangerous as a young child to accidentally fall upon like the dark path. Like the Aleister Crowley path. Yeah. Like he got real fucked up with this shit.
And I went through the dark. Like,
and when you,
I fed off of
it. It's like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Chas still hasn't seen Star Wars.
No,
but
Joseph Campbell.
It's such a great metaphor because, like, Yoda and the Jedi's knew about the dark side.
Yeah.
They didn't deny that and they were practiced in it, but they had the willpower to stay maintained in the light. And that is like the hero's journey. You're going, marching forward on the path. knowing there's, and even Lord of the Rings, you're marching forward to reach that destiny that's going to be gory and difficult and not fun most of the time, but it's going to be so much more rewarding than just like staying in your little hobbit hole or just succumbing to the shallowness of materialism and greed, like in the in Star Wars.
The symbolism of Lord of the Rings is so powerful.
It's insane.
So powerful.
So insane. And I tried reading the books at one point.
I'm reading it right now.
I only read The Hobbit all the way through, and same. I started reading the series, but I was reading it at a time when I wasn't studying this very much, and the descriptions were like too fucking much. I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, I get he's walking along a beautiful path. Like, you don't have to say anymore. But now I get that this was all very nuanced symbolism. Yeah. So I should revisit it. But I just was so annoyed. I'm like, oh my, move on. Like, stop describing this fucking field.
Like, I know. Yeah, shout out to Frodo and Sam. I mean, for doing that whole fucking thing barefoot. I mean, goddamn.
Totally. But it's interesting, these stories that have this such profound symbolism in it, and most people just don't even get it.
That's another thing, too, is when you pick up on the details of things and you're really looking, I mean, dissecting things, like, and you just get like an urge, like, oh yeah, this is going to be, you know, this means something. So what does it mean? Like, so it could mean something to you personally. It's your interpretation, but seeing all of the older archetypes, all the symbolism, and like I mentioned Tool, their symbolisms, the flower life. That was like the very first thing. I think your introduction on what, I think the first episode, you spoke about spirit science.
Yes.
After me and Caitlin got together, I got into spirit science because I really had like this urge to figure out these experiences that I had.
We were probably getting into spirit science at the exact same time.
That's what it was weird when I was listening.
Because
like,
it was shortly
shit.
After my significant other and I got together, which was very, I think you said February 2013.
Yeah.
And we were November 2012 when we first got like, we're a couple, I guess. Yeah. I don't even know. It's just so long ago now. But that's so bizarre. We were probably watching Spirit Science at the exact same time. And I remember just like everything made perfect sense.
I know.
Even the like Mars Atlantis story. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, am I crazy for thinking this makes sense right now?
Because
it was kind of like, oh yeah, no, totally, I remember that. And then it's like, wait, what was that thought? Mm-hmm. I remember that? Like, what? Like, I thought I was losing my mind when all of this was making sense. And then I kind of just forgot about it. And Chas and I became friends a few years after I really got into spirit science. My boyfriend and I were renting a house and we had the whole like friend group and everything.
Yeah.
And we were kind of talking about these subjects. But we were all just like, yeah, yeah, no, totally. And that was it.
And we were, yeah, it never really went.
We didn't really understand what we were saying. And then we had the falling out. It was like kind of a dark night period for both of us separately. And then we reconvened with our red pill walk and learned about it on a higher level. We're like, oh, wait, no, this is not just spiritual concepts. We're also in a big play/video game that is mirroring these spiritual concepts.
Yeah.
And we're in like the climax terrible chapter where like someone dies and something crazy happens.
Right. And I think, and like it's one thing to acknowledge the details of things and then try to apply it to your life and see the meaning in things. Just the smallest things. Like you can find, an archetypal significance in, nature's especially. Like nature's, I mean, everywhere in nature, there's examples of the divinity of everything. There's archetypes everywhere. I mean, it's kind of like the fractal patterning and like...
Or like even just my boyfriend is a gardener. Yeah. And we don't really talk about these subjects very in depth very often, which is why I have such a great connection with the podcast, because it allows me to like articulate these things that I like doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that he doesn't understand them. He just understands them at such a symbolic level.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have as strong of a pull to the verbalization of that understanding, which for a long time to me was like, so you don't understand it, right?
Because
you can't explain it, but that's how I understand things.
Right.
And
yeah,
he just listens and he's like, I don't need to re-explain it to you. Like, just watch this video that I watched. And he also understands it through gardening and like working with plants. You pull the roots up of a plant and it's like very similar to the top of the plant, but it's like the dead and dark and
it's everywhere
underneath, as above, so below, like all this spiritual concept.
Yeah.
It's all symbolically there, and words don't do the justice that archetypes and symbols do. It's better just to feel it and to know it.
That's why we have advertisements.
Yeah, seriously. And advertisements are also powerful. Just sigils, which are man-made archetypes in a way.
Right.
They're like, I'm going to put my own lowercase intention into this symbol, and I'm going to use this symbol to my will. This is like Aleister Crowley type magic because you are manipulating these higher energies, whereas archetypes exist without you. You can use the archetypal energy as like a sigil, but it's not your sigil.
Right.
It's like taming the wild beast, like the strength card in the tarot. Mm-hmm. You have a gentle strength with this archetype where it is more powerful than you, but it still fuels you. Whereas sigil magic is still powerful, but it's the lesser power because it's your personal power, not God working directly with his hand. Do you know, does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Kind of blacked out there.
No, it definitely does. And yeah, and it's like, it's so right now you asked me earlier, like how in relation to my past, how I got to this point. And it was acknowledging those series of events, being extremely thankful for the, like, I mean, if you want to talk about like angels coming down and helping you, like, I swear to God, it was just like a hand reaching at me and just like, here you go. There you go. Don't worry about it. And then during, you know, after I met Chas and I had these experiences and I was meditating and I was really like figuring out what the fuck is going on? Like, what is my consciousness? If I'm having this experience, what else is possible? And I didn't have anyone to talk to about it.
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of like experimenting in a sense, just hanging out, you know, with people and having fun. And then but I still had the emotional baggage of, you know, earlier years. And because I had my own apartment at this point, you know, I was working like two jobs and like I was attempting to go to community college, was not working out for me. And, I just remember like I have all this emotional baggage. I was riding the highs and the lows constantly. And I mean, that happened forever. And then I met Caitlin. And Caitlin randomly, so this is another example. So after the plane, I met Justin's parents. Justin's parents kept me in, made it so that I could go to my senior year of high school. During my senior year of high school, I met all these friends. I had this insane experience where I did all these things. I did the talent show. I had emotional connections with these people. Later on, it ended up benefiting me because these people reached out to my life and said, here you go. And then, I was going to be homeless. And I had like a few weeks to find another place. And my good friend, Sarah, I met randomly at a grocery store, said, oh, you can live with us, you know. That set me down. You know, it turns out they were totally like-minded individuals who just increased my capacity to understand things to such an extent that I still hold dearly. Like, I still hold on to that experience because it was such a relief. And then after living with them, I lived with my best friend, Justin, who I've known since middle school. We had a falling out the day after. I had no idea what I was going to do. I thought I was going to be homeless again. My good friend, Steven, called me up and like, oh, I'm looking for a place to live. I'll move in with you. That was the day after I knew that he was...
All the worldly things were just taken care of for
it was
you.
Like, here
even
you
though
go.
You had to work for it.
Right, so...
But that's how God works. And people get all pissed off that, like, God works in... Yeah, it's
you have to let
fear.
Go of that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that famine thinking that I had didn't really go away. I still had that baggage. And it wasn't until later on that I was able to acknowledge those things and just... see it for what it was. Like, why am I holding on to all this emotional baggage? It's not serving me. And so, I mean, after, like, for instance, so another thing, after the Angelinis, falling out with Justin, my friend Steven came the day after. And then after Steven, I was doing all this stuff. Senior year, I did a lot of, like, acting and stuff. And I randomly auditioned for this like movie type thing that a local guy was doing. This friend of mine named Peter, and I got the part, the leading role, and I did like some stuff. We were just having fun, and it was fun. So I found time to do that because it was fun. So it was a distraction from my shitty like sleeping alone, like, you know, yeah. Like no like support system. Like if I get in a car accident, I'm just going to be in debt for a long time, you know, like, and so that was the fear that was constantly radiating on me. And then I met Caitlin, and then me and Caitlin hit it off. And this was like after a series of me having relationships up and down, like not really knowing, like, I don't know if I want, you know, and like being too attached, not attached enough, not paying attention too much, going through these like ebbs and flows throughout all of this with like females. And so when I first met Caitlin, I didn't know if like I should burden her with like my like just I don't want to download yeah. any negative thing. Like I didn't even want to tell her about my past. I didn't want to even like I didn't want her to ask me, well, where's your parents?
Totally. Yeah.
You
yeah
know?
I know what you mean.
So I'm like, I don't know.
Little did you know,
yeah,
she was totally capable of receiving anything that you wanted or felt comfortable enough to unload. And through that,
the patience,
and through that you created and you gained the family that you were trying to attract.
Yeah,
which is insane. And one I'm having like a lot of flashback moments too, hearing you talk about that time in your life at the apartment, like when we were all friends and together, because like you hearing you say like, If something were to happen to me, like nobody would care. You guys were my lifeline at that time because
yeah,
I had
you
just
were my lifeline.
Literally, Waylon and I were just, I truly felt like it was such a pure friendship where we didn't have to talk about our past because we just understood
yeah.
that there was a lot of baggage there for both of us.
And I feel like that kind of happened with us too.
Yeah. And yeah. having that sense of, you guys were my stability.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able to now look back, you talked about that string and it was just like God kind of picking you up and putting you places.
We had some crazy
that was your Sims
experience.
Sims player clicking into a new room and you're like, oh, why am I here?
Great. Just it's just so wild to me to think about where we are now individually, but also as friends. And
yeah.
like it's just, it's wild. It's so wild. And then after that point of the friendship, you know, when we all kind of grew in our different directions from our friend group, I had that experience of the hand coming down, picking me up out of wherever the fuck I was and putting me directly into Tony's family.
Oh, yeah.
So like we, again, simultaneously went through very similar experiences.
And I had that with your boyfriend.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's crazy. But more than anything, it's crazy for me to hear you say that if something happened to you, I would have noticed like a lot.
Yeah.
Because at that time, I had just come out of an incredibly abusive situation. And
I remember.
I didn't even have to talk about that.
Mm-mm.
I just didn't. Like these people just, we just loved each other. And for a really good period of time, we were each other's family. And like, we were just, we even said like, we were just like this misfit group of kids that were just figuring shit out. And then the God just came into each one of our lives and moved us to exactly where we needed to be. And now we're still here.
Yeah.
Like it didn't end.
It was like the lows were just low enough to like feel the highs. Like it was, Yeah.
Life is just crazy.
It's so weird.
And time isn't real.
Like, and we were, and now we're all here.
And 8 years ago, we were here.
It's still happening. We're still getting pulled around. It's not over yet.
That is so weird that you were here exactly 8 years ago on this similar weekend day.
For my 22nd birthday. Yeah. Now it's my 30th mm-hmm. birthday.
And it was the same year that you and Kate met.
Yeah.
Like,
we're building a future, like, as a community.
This is our new community. Like this,
and this is not just our new community. This is like the community of the future.
Yes,
like,
and it's a collective community that we're contributing to.
And we're like connecting unintentionally with thousands of, if not probably thousands, because NPCs, but lots of other people who are like-minded. Even if they're not listening to the podcast yet, they are unintentionally being connected with our energy right now, because they're waking up and they're connecting. And the people who are just waking up are looking for guidance. And we are paving the new path for these people, like fucking Jesus. Like literally, we are walking in Jesus's footsteps by
consciousness.
And we are the disciples that pave this new way.
Yeah.
It's so great. This is such an interesting conversation, and it was a really interesting perspective to add with Kate's We Is Me too, because they were both like very similar conversations, but also just from very different energies. And it's like the same story over and over again in a beautiful different way. So this is awesome.
Yeah.
This was really
fun. This was really great.
Yeah.
Do you have anything, like, is there a way people can find you? Do you want to like shout out your Instagram or anything? You don't have to, but
rootedwellness.com.
Nice.
Nice. Great. Love it. And I'll put that in the show notes, but this was so much fun.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
This was
dope.
Love it. And we'll see our listeners next time.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
I want to go home.